Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, December the 10th, as we're heading down here to the end of the year, the holiday season, pretty much getting started. There's Christmas music everywhere in the Dallas area. I'm sure the same wherever you are. Today, we're going to have our weekly chat with our friend George Rodriguez. We're going to talk a little bit about Texas and what's going on in Texas, some interesting stories from the headlines today, the abortion law, Abbott versus O'Rourke for governor, Republicans doing well with Hispanics nationwide, and inflation is back. So a lot of things, and our friend George was on Telemundo this week talking about the maps, the Texas maps, that is, that have come under scrutiny by the Biden administration. So lots to get into. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, how is everything South Texas tonight?
It is warm. It is really nice, but we are anticipating a big cold front coming in.
Same here. It's funny that I just heard the forecast for tomorrow morning, and they're telling, you know, they're telling people that it's going to be in the low to mid 40s in the morning. So wear a sweater on Saturday. We had almost, you know, we were almost flirting with summer today, the last couple of days, really here. 70s, high 70s, but I guess we're going back to winter. Well, I got to begin with, you know, we always like to say that these stories make you and me feel old, and I guess they do, George, because Michael Nesmith, who was a member of the Monkees, passed away today. He was 79. Michael was actually born in Texas, went to school, grade school here in the Dallas area, Stephen Foster Elementary School, as well as junior high here in the area. So he's well known here in the Dallas area, and he became a part of the Monkees, and the Monkees for an 18-month period were about as hot as any musical group could be. They were selling millions and millions of records, and then they, you know, they faded like a lot of groups do. But in the 1970s, I thought Michael Nesmith was very talented. He put out a bunch of his own stuff. A lot of good songs that he put out. Not, he was never as big as he was with the Monkees, but nevertheless, he did sell lots of records, and I think he had a lot of talent, George.
Yeah, I mean, they were put together. I mean, you know, everybody panned them and made fun of them because they did. They were a band that was put together for a TV show. However, they did have talent. That was the thing, was that they did have talent. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been selected. And you know, the show certainly helped them to be really, really big, which you know, they were for a while. I thought, you know, I enjoyed several of their songs, but you know, it was popular to make fun of them because they were trying to be, you know, as cute as the Beatles were in the Beatles movie.
Right.
You know, I thought they were pretty good.
I did, too. I think a lot of their songs have lasted a long time, and I guess that's the standard, you know, if you listen to a song many years later and you still enjoy it. But I like them a lot. I mean, I think people forget, particularly the younger generation forget, how big and how big it was to be on TV back then.
Yeah,
because
right.
you had basically three networks. I mean, three in every city. I mean, I remember, you know, three networks: NBC, CBS, ABC, and then the PBS channel came in the early 70s, I think. But for the most part, you had three channels to watch TV. So anybody who was on TV, whatever show you had, you were going to get a pretty large audience, because there wasn't like today where you have, you know, 800 channels and you've got streaming and you've got iPhones. I mean, there's so much competition today to the television. But back then, if you were on TV, you were it, George.
Yeah, you were. I mean, it was a period of time where, you know, there was a great deal of transition that was going on that was caused because of the media. And it was very, very new to us. However, that was the fact. I think that it was a lot more sincere media than it is now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, absolutely. But you didn't have the social media type stuff that we have now that has divided.
I've got to tell you that it was a little cleaner. It was a little cleaner. If anybody has seen, you know, the music awards nowadays, it's almost like an X-rated show.
Well, in some cases it is. You know, that's why I don't like it, honestly, because, you know, I don't know, a lot of the music these days, I just don't enjoy how in-your-face it is when it comes to the lyrics. I mean, it's just absurd. But anyway, Michael Nesmith.
Obscene, I think, is the word that you might
want. Obscene is a better one, yeah. He was born in 1942, and I guess he passed away here in the last 24 hours. I'm not sure where he was when he passed away, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Texas, because this was home for Michael Nesmith. Well, let's talk a little politics, George. I guess the big story today is the Supreme Court left the abortion law in place. It does allow for lawsuits, but I heard this explanation. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'd like to hear what you think of it. But somebody said what the Supreme Court did was to say, this is now up to Texas. If you got a problem with the Texas law, take it up in Texas. We don't want to be doing this up here anymore about this law. And they basically have thrown it back to Texas. So if you've got a problem, you're going to have to go through the Texas courts to deal with it, George. Do you think that's correct, that interpretation?
Oh, definitely. See, the thing that we've got to understand, again, and we've been talking about it ad nauseum, but the fact of the matter is that the Constitution is about the states, and the name of the country is the United States, and each state does what it wants to do according to what its residents want to do. And if the residents of one state want to wear blue hats while another state wants to wear red hats, that's up to the state. And that doesn't seem to enter into the factor, in any factor, to the liberal mind. The liberal mind, they want, it's particularly the leftists who want to take over the country, they want everybody to wear the color hats that they demand.
Right.
This situation with this ruling says, let the residents of Texas determine what the abortion law is going to be.
Right.
Because why? Because the state of Texas legislature determined it.
That's right.
And if you want to, if people in New York are upset about the law in Texas, too bad.
Well, that's it. And I think we saw this week a little bit of what I think is going to happen. The state of California, I have a post about this over at the American Thinker today, Friday morning. The state of California has decided that they're going to basically say, if you want an abortion, you can come to California. And the article is even saying that some abortion clinics will pay your way to California.
That's great. That was my reaction.
That was my reaction too, George. If that's what they want to do, let them do it. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it. Fantastic. Go for it.
Then let them do it, and you know, it's up to them. I did say in my article that I thought it was kind of ironic that people from California come here to start a new life, and I guess some people from Texas are going to go to California to terminate a life. But
isn't that sad? Very well.
But anyway, that's that. So I think that's what it means. Now, the other thing, George, I think the Supreme Court, it's really not a ruling. They just kind of left it alone. They didn't opine. Oh, they did not write an opinion on the Texas abortion law, but the Supreme Court may very well be preparing the way for the Mississippi law, which is the 15 weeks. And basically, what I'm kind of reading between the lines here is that the court is going to basically say with the Mississippi ruling, they're going to say the states can regulate abortion. This is their problem. This is their wish. And this ought to be fixed in the legislature of the different states, like we were talking about with California. That's what I think. It isn't just about Texas. It's about the ruling, I believe, is coming with Mississippi. I'm not sure that they are going to formally say Roe v. Wade is dead, but I think they are going to say that Mississippi can regulate abortion, and in so doing will basically break the back of Roe v. Wade as a national law, or as a national, never really a law, but as a national whatever, imposition of abortion, George.
Yep, that's right. And I think that's, you know, again, the situation is let the states determine it. That continues to be a battle, a sad situation that the folks in Washington and in New York and in California just don't seem to understand.
No.
I mean, if they are miserable, let us not be. If they are happy, then let us be.
Right, exactly. Everybody do their own thing, and we're not going to complain. You know, we're not going to complain here in Texas, whatever they do in California. They can do whatever they want to do. You know, that's fine with me, but let us do. It's not really what we want to do. It's what we elected a legislature to do. I think this is the point.
Exactly.
That many people miss on this. This is not some executive order on the part of the governor. This is actually the legislature in Texas passing this law and the governor signing the law. So it is really a little bit more complicated than simply saying that, you know, this is what we want. Yeah, this is what we want, and we elected a legislature to do that for us, George. So it's very legitimate, in my mind, what we've done here in Texas, George.
I agree.
All right, well, let's move on to a couple of points here that I want to put together at the same time. The latest polling data has Governor Abbott plus 15 over Beto O'Rourke. There are the last four polls, the average of the four has the governor up by 8, 9, 8, 7, 15. So it all kind of averages up to about 8. But that, I think, is – I know that it's too early, George, to conclude, because things can still change, as you and I know. But I think the bad news for Beto O'Rourke is that if he's going to raise the kind of money he's going to have to raise to compete in Texas in all these television markets, I mean, the governor already has $55 million, from what I understand. If he's going to be able to reach $55 million and compete with the governor, he's going to have to convince people that he can win. This kind of polling data, George, doesn't persuade a lot of deep pockets that this is a race they ought to be investing in, George.
Exactly, exactly. But see, again, the people that are most invested in this campaign for Beto are the far-left radicals. And, you know, they will, I mean, they're just fanatics. I don't know how else to put it. They're just fanatics.
Well, I think, again, I think that they picked, unless I'm totally wrong, I think they picked the wrong year.
Yeah, that's it.
To do this, I mean, as I've said before,
the year doesn't matter. The polls don't matter. I mean, they're going to go headlong into supporting him.
Yeah, I just don't know, honestly, George, where he's going to get, because he's going to need $50 million to make this happen. He's going to have to go out there and raise $50 million, and that's a lot of money. And the last time around, he benefited from a lot of money coming into Texas because they wanted to defeat Ted Cruz. I just don't think he's going to get that lucky. And what I envision is that he's going to be running – I'm not going to say he's short of cash. He'll get his cash. But I think he'll be significantly behind Governor Abbott, especially after the primary, when I believe Abbott will be the winner of the primary. And then it's going to be Abbott versus O'Rourke. And I do think that the money situation will become even more problematic for for Beto. Now, the other story, George, that I wanted to talk about tonight is the Wall Street Journal now has a brand new poll that it's pretty much 50-50 for Democrats and for Hispanics between Democrats and Republicans. I mean, it's a pretty much of a 50-50 deal that the Democrat Party is losing Hispanics. You know this very well down on the border. I think we know why down on the border. But you've got inflation, George, the highest level of inflation since 1982. Wow, that's a long time, 39 years. And you've got a lot of other issues in the economy that are affecting Hispanics. And I think a lot of Hispanics are looking at this administration and saying, what are they doing for me? Well, they're not doing anything for anybody, really. And that's why I think a lot of the support has really fallen off. I have a post coming out Saturday morning linking to an article written by a fellow named Rudy Teixeira. You may remember that name, George. He was the professor at the University of Texas who about 20 years ago wrote that article saying that Hispanics were going to be the engine that was going to make the Democrats a permanent majority in the United States. Well, he's backing down now. I mean, he's basically saying, forget that I wrote that, because the Democrats are losing Hispanics, and they're losing Hispanics for a lot of reasons. And I thought it was interesting. One of the reasons that he believes is that they treat all Hispanics the same. They think that all Hispanics are illegal immigrants. And that just doesn't seem to square.
Or that we favor illegal immigration.
Well, yeah, they came here legally, but yet they treat everybody that way, and they think we're all victims, when in fact the overwhelming majority of us are very grateful to be here, George.
Exactly. I've been preaching this for a long, long time, that all Hispanics are not the same. And, initially it got me in trouble because some people were trying to force that issue, that we are the same because we have to have unity. Well, that's not true. The fact of the matter is that we have many, many types of Hispanics who have very many different types of immigration experiences, not to mention also assimilation issues, that we have really, really assimilated in various capacities. Many of us have become straight out Americans and just forgotten the native languages. Others just finished crossing the border, and they are in the process of either trying to determine how to get involved or how to stay, native. It is a different ballgame from us. Our experience cannot be measured and cannot be equaled to the experience of the blacks, and sadly, that's exactly how they keep viewing us.
That's right. No, I think that you're exactly right. I think that Hispanics represent different groups, different groups within the Hispanic population. Yes, we all have Hispanic surnames. That's true, and yes, many of us come from Latin America, but we have different reasons. But I think for me, the most consistent, or the common denominator among the Hispanics that I've known over the years is that they love the country, they're very grateful to be here, and they don't want the United States to turn into the countries where they came from, because they just don't believe that, they don't want socialism in the United States, for example. That, they want economic prosperity, because I was listening to the congresswoman from Miami, Maria Salazar, I think, Elvira Salazar, I think that's her name. She's a Cuban-American from Miami. And she was saying that this is the only country where you can come to the United States and you work as a bartender and you could actually own the bar. And that's an amazing thing to say, because that's exactly the point. You come here...
Or you can become a congressman, a congresswoman.
That's it. That's exactly right. And, you come here... you literally start from nothing, and in a short time, that was the joke in Miami with the Cubans. On Monday, they were cleaning the floor. On Friday, they were buying the restaurant.
Exactly.
I mean, there was that that impulse, that that sense of capitalism and free market that Hispanics have. I really believe that. And the Democrat Party, once the Democratic Party gave up on capitalism and free markets and basically became a left-wing party, well, what can I tell you? There's not much there to say. Let me take a little break, George, and then we come back. Let's talk a little bit about the map and the big issue here in Texas. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, with our good friend George Rodriguez. I meant to ask you a question, George, about San Antonio. Is it starting to look like Christmas in San Antonio? It's always very pretty there.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really already ready and decorated. I mean, it is really, really. We are into the spirit already.
That's great. That's great. I love that because there's so many beautiful areas there in San Antonio. You know, the Riverwalk, of course, everybody thinks about that, but there's other areas there that are very pretty and just perfect for the look of Christmas. Well, George, before we get into the maps, you and I are old enough to remember 1982 and inflation, and it looks like we're back to 1982 and inflation right now, which is probably not where Joe Biden wants to be, George.
I guarantee that... You know, he and several other people are having second thoughts about this situation. We are looking at an inflation that is, it's out of control. It is out of control. And, there seems to be no effort on their part to try to address it. On the contrary, they seem to just excuse it and continue to, on their merry way of both piling on more money, spending more money. It's very disturbing to watch how they are approaching this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Extremely.
No, I think you're right. And they don't seem to understand why the price of gasoline is high. They don't seem to understand how increasing the price of gasoline, you know, they want us to, they think somehow that if the price of gas goes up to $6, that you and I are going to turn around and buy an electric car. Well, no, that's not what's going to happen. If the price goes up to $5, I'm going to have less money to spend on other things. And that's what's killing. And I would suggest, George, that I think that the Hispanic families, you see this quite a bit, I'm sure, in San Antonio as well. I think a lot of Hispanic families are really getting hit very hard by this inflation. I would argue that that has a lot to do with why President Biden is losing so much support among Hispanics, because the Hispanic family, in many cases, they're middle class, maybe up-and-coming middle class families. And those are the ones who really get hurt when they have to spend $3.10, $3.05, and that's in Texas, for a gallon of gas, George.
I agree. I mean, that's what's very, very annoying to me, and I'll use that polite word, annoying, is that they are in complete either denial or just don't care, or just flat don't care, because there's no way that they cannot be hearing it. There is no way that they cannot be in tuned that people are suffering, that people are angry, and that people are hurting. I was talking to a good friend of mine from our church about his situation with, you know, he's got a small business with a fleet of trucks. Well, you know, the gas prices are just eating them alive. And, how is this supposed to help the middle class?
Well, it's not. It's not helping the middle class for sure. And that fellow that you know who's got the trucks, I mean, I think everybody knows a Hispanic family where, you know, they use a truck for business. A lot of Hispanic small businesses use their trucks, you know, the landscaping people, stuff like that. And they're, like you say, they're getting killed. You're absolutely getting killed by these gas prices. And you would think that that somebody would say to the President of the United States, you know, Mr. President, it's not too late to open up that pipeline, that Keystone pipeline, and it's not too late to just kind of throw away all those regulations on production, and it's not too late to, you know, get American production going again. You would think that somebody around him would be telling him that, and either they're not, George, or the president is disconnected from reality, or maybe a little bit of both, George.
That's exactly my thinking. I mean, that is exactly my thoughts. You know, the disconnection, I can almost understand that because he has shown symptoms of being a little senile. But to not care, that's just absolutely irresponsible to me.
Absolutely. No, I think you're exactly right on that. Exactly right. I mean, look, you pay for the gas. I mean, all of us are paying for this gasoline. I filled up this week. It was a little bit over three. Now, it has come down maybe 5 or 10 cents, but I don't know why that is.
No. It has come down because recently he announced that he was going to release the reserves. It's not coming down because we are pumping more. And this is what's very irritating about this situation, is that he's making things worse. By reducing the reserve, he is imperiling us even more so.
That's right. And all he's doing is setting it up for an increase. Because once we consume all that energy that he released, we're right back to 319 again, which is where, as high as I've seen it here in the Dallas area. Of course, it's over $4 in many parts of the country, George. I mean, we're complaining here. And I'll tell you something else, George, that we haven't we're not there yet. Well, not in Texas. We're not as affected by this in Texas because our winters, I mean, we have cold winters. I know last year we had that crazy freak ice storm that shut down the state, but normally we don't get the, temperatures like that. We may get a day or two, and that's about it. But if you're up north, if you're in Massachusetts, in New York, in Illinois, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, you name it, it's going to get pretty cold there pretty soon. And when those people up there start getting their electric heats, their electric bills for heating their house, George, we're going to be here. They're screaming down here, George.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It is. It's unconscionable the way that they are managing the nation. It is really, really. I mean, it is. It seems to be purposeful.
Right.
In their way of pushing forward policies that clearly injure instead of help.
No, absolutely. And this is the part. You always want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's so obvious that at some point you have to say they're doing this on purpose, because they cannot be that stupid. They cannot be that stupid. When you've got Senator Joe Manchin telling them, hey, you got to hold back with all this spending and the inflation, you would think they listen to Joe Manchin, but they're not, and that's pretty incredible. Well, George, our last story tonight is on the Texas maps. The Department of Justice has decided to go after Texas. Apparently, they don't see anything wrong with gerrymandering in California, Illinois, and Maryland. They think that's perfectly okay, but they're going to go after Texas. And you had a debate the other day on TV, and what were some of the points that you made on that debate, George?
Well, among them, first of all, was if they really want to win elections, they have got to, rather than if they want to control the redistricting, they've got to win elections. And if they're going to win elections, they have to speak about issues that matter to the common person that's going to vote for them. I mean, right now, here in Texas in particular, we just talked about the price of oil. We've talked about the inflation. We certainly have talked about the border, and these are hot topics, hot, hot items. But what we hear about, we hear about our folks, about the Democrats going to Paris and to London and to Brussels to talk about the climate.
That's right.
Well, you know, it there's a real disconnect in that aspect of it. That was number one. Number two is the whole issue, again, of states' rights. These maps were drawn by a legally, legitimately elected body of legislature. That body of legislature is majority Republican. They get to do it. And then the final thing is that, you know, they're screaming and squabbling in reality about two districts. Well, you know, that's out of 38. I mean, you know, it's very, very difficult to say, well, there is massive discrimination when you're only squabbling about two. There was a very interesting editorial today in The Hill, which is a very, very, which in my opinion is a liberal website and reporting organization. But even they said if the Democrats want to control redistricting, they need to win elections. That's
right.
The bottom line.
No, that's right. They need to start winning elections, and maybe they ought to read they ought to read what Rudy Teixeira is reading, you know, writing about their problems with Hispanics, because that's exactly right. They have to start winning elections, and that means they have to start putting forward a message that makes sense in Texas, a message that connects with families, that connects with small business people here in Texas. But their message, unfortunately, is all about, you know, it's all about, you know, equity and, you know, social justice. Well, you know, I'm not saying that's completely wrong, but you win by understanding what your voters are talking about. And right now, nobody's talking about the 6th of January. Nobody's talking about, Biden. Nobody's talking about Trump. Everybody's talking about gasoline, the price of tomato, and the chaos on the border. And until they start addressing those topics, well, that's they're going to be disconnected, as you indicated. Well, George, anything else you wanted to add with respect to the maps? Because I think the maps are going to survive. I really do. The court, because
well,
the court.
We've seen the abortion.
Yeah.
Law survive. The maps are going to survive.
Well, now what they may do, though, is they may take their case, like they did with the abortion case. They may take it to a friendly judge first, who will write an opinion on their behalf, and then it'll go to the appeals court, where I think Texas will win. But the issue to me is, what exactly did Texas do that is unconstitutional? I mean, you go to the courts because there's something unconstitutional about what you did. But Texas didn't do anything unconstitutional. Texas drew up maps within the rules of Texas. The Voting Rights Act that they're talking about doesn't even apply to any of this, George. I have no idea why they're even bringing that in. It seems like they're pulling that out of the air to somehow talk about discrimination against, I guess, Latinos or blacks here in Texas. But I don't see how these maps do that, George.
It is reaching for a straw. That's my opinion. It is reaching for a straw.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Well, George, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, as always. And are you going to stick around town for the holidays, or are you going to be traveling?
I am actually, I think the only traveling that I'm going to be doing this year is to a bowl game, but I think that's about it. I am going to be sticking around close to the house because, well, you know, I'm just not interested in paying a whole lot of gas, and I'm not interested in riding in airlines that are just freaking out over me living the Sharia law and wearing a mask.
Right. And, you know, I wonder how many people feel that way, too. I wonder how many people may very well cut back on trips and all of that because of the price of gas. I mean, that's, you know, that if you spend all that money and gas, it's got to come out of, I mean, everybody has a certain budget, and if you're overspending on gas, well, it's got to come out of somewhere else on your budget. But anyway, I wish you a very happy Christmas. We'll try to reconnect after the first of the year. We'll take a look at politics at that time. But enjoy your Christmas holiday very much. And I hope, you know, I hope we don't get a any freaky ice storms. That's the only thing I'm hoping for, George, that we can somehow survive a winter with. I don't mind cold weather, but I just, these freaky ice storms, I hope we don't get them, George.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, that's right. Well, have a wonderful evening, George, and thank you as always for your time. And we'll chat again probably the first Friday of 2022. Can you believe that? 2022, okay. George? That's amazing. All right, George. Thank
Bye.
You and good night.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez from San Antonio talking a little bit about Texas. You know, as I say, some of us are going to go away for a little bit. And but we'll get back together with George at the beginning of the new year and get back to 2022 is going to be a very exciting year here in Texas and across the country. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.